Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Now, there was loads of intrigue happening over the water in the House of Commons during the week, as we mentioned earlier on. Was there a Christmas party in 10 Downing Street last year? We still don't know. But earlier in the year, Dawn Butler MP was ejected from the House of Commons for calling Boris Johnson a liar. That rule from it comes from a bygone age where politicians might have been more scrupulous with the truth. So what other weird and wonderful traditions make up parliaments around the world? Well, Afric O'Connell is here now to talk about some of the more bizarre ones. Let's jump straight in there, Afric. House of Commons, what are we doing there?
Let's jump straight in, Dave. Well, the English Parliament anyway is over 800 years old, so all these rules come from times of yore. Like, would we call it your?
Yeah, that'll do fine.
So we go for the House of Commons first, right? So all these, so Dawn Butler was ejected from the House because you can't, in the House of Commons, directly refer to anyone as a liar. It is in breach of the standards of the House of Commons. So there's loads of weird and wonderful traditions in the House of Commons in particular. The first one, when the Speaker of the House of Commons is elected.
That's not John Bercow anymore.
It was John Bercow. It's Lindsay Hoyle now.
That's a bloke.
Speaker of the House. Yeah.
Lindsay the bloke.
It
is. Well, it sounds like it's a woman, but it's
yes.
Not. Okay.
Lindsay the bloke. Yeah, it is. Right. So everybody's had days, so they feel like they've been dragged into work to school by somebody. But when the Speaker of the Commons is appointed, they're literally hauled into the chamber. So it comes from a time when the Speaker's job was to report the goings on in Parliament to the monarch. And depending on the message, it could occasionally cost them their head. So speakers of the House of Commons would have been killed if the news wasn't to the...
Does this still go on? Are you telling me that John Bercow 10 years ago or Lindsay Hoyle now, like somebody's dragging them in, literally?
Yeah, MPs dragged them in, really? By like the arms, their heels dragging across the floor to symbolise this thing that it is, you know, it's the responsibility is to give the monarch, Liz, the news of the day. And if she doesn't like it, then someone might lose their head. So
okay.
That's the first one.
That's the Speaker literally dragged to work.
Yeah. Another weird one, which I read about during the week because I thought it was gas, was MPs get kidnapped. When a session of Parliament is opened, Queen Elizabeth makes a speech from the throne, or the Queen's speech, outlining the plans of the government for the next 12 months or so. During this speech, an MP is kidnapped and held hostage at Buckingham Palace. So it comes from a time when the monarchy had a really difficult relationship with parliamentarians. So an MP would be used as a bargaining tool or a hostage in case the King or the Queen were threatened during their time in Westminster.
And that happens now too.
Yeah, they do it for tradition.
I mean, I know we started off here talking about weird traditions in parliaments. Have you given me your two best ones?
Yeah, there's loads more. Right. There's brilliant ones. So if you steal the mace...
We're still in the House of Commons.
Yeah. Right. Still in the House of Commons for the moment. So they, you would have seen in 2018 this happened. So the mace is in. Do you remember this?
I do.
It was around. I think it was. It was Theresa May's Brexit vote. I think in 2018. So the mace is a symbol of the Queen's authority that sits in the House of Commons chamber when Parliament is in session, and any debate that takes place without it being there is illegal. And recently, Lloyd Russell Moyle caused havoc by grabbing it when Theresa May announced that she was going to delay the Brexit meaningful vote in December 2018. So it was 3 years ago, almost exactly. When he wrote about it, why he did it in The Guardian, he admitted that for the vast majority of people, a gangly man in moleskin trousers holding a 5 foot golden rod might look a bit odd. But I work in a very odd place, which rests heavily on symbol and ritual. So other examples of the mace being used in that situation, in those situations
back
as well.
Hundreds of years.
Hundreds and hundreds. Hundreds of years, yeah. So there was Oliver Cromwell dissolved the Long Parliament in 1653, and he turned to the mace, declaring it a fool's bauble, and ordered the troops he'd brought with him to the chamber to take it away. And countries like Australia and the Bahamas and
so
Canada.
So with Theresa May and Brexit, you're telling me that if somebody thinks this isn't going to go well, the debate's not going to happen.
He grabbed
one
the mace.
One way is don't debate, grab the mace,
grab
and then
the mace.
The debate is illegal.
Exactly, grab the mace. So now people don't do it because it's, you know, frowned upon, I guess.
And he caused. It's only
he caused.
That's worth it.
Can't be grabbing the mace the whole time. You never get anything done.
You don't get arrested, do you?
Yeah, I don't think he got arrested. No, he wrote about it in The Guardian, so I don't think he was getting arrested.
Give us another House of Commons one.
So the last one I have for the House of Commons is a gas one, the parliamentary snuff box. So the parliamentary snuff box is at the door of the House of Commons in the UK, where snuff is stored to be used by members of the Parliament. In 1694, the Parliament of England passed a resolution banning smoking in the House of Commons chamber and in the committee rooms. And following this, members still wished to take tobacco. So snuff was used as a tolerated alternative to smoking. It was attributed to Erskine May in parliamentary practice. And in 1941, the House of Commons chamber was destroyed by a German bomb at the Palace of Westminster, and the current parliamentary snuff box was created using timber from the destroyed chamber
store.
I know I'm
asking the same question about all these, but current, it's the snuff box there as we speak.
Yeah, they still have it, and it is the responsibility of the principal doorkeeper to keep the thing stocked with snuff. And people only found out about this in 2010 when there was an FOI put to find out about the snuff box and whether it actually existed. It confirmed the existence of the tradition and that it was filled with snuff chosen by the principal doorkeeper, which he selects from a local tobacconist and pays for himself.
Out of his own pocket?
Yeah.
So if I went there tomorrow, somebody would point out that's the snuff box.
That's the snuff box. Weird. In the House of Commons.
Anything from Dáil Éireann?
Yes,
in the same way.
Of course. Good. Yeah, we have, well, we could not, could we, in fairness? So Dáil Éireann, one of the things that we had that people found unusual was that there's an opening prayer and in the Dáil people. It's controversial, not necessarily something that everyone is happy with, but it has been tradition for a long, long time. So under the standing orders, a prayer is recited in Irish and English at the beginning of each day's proceedings. In a vote in 2017, TDs are asked to stand for the prayer and a subsequent 30-second silent reflection. So if the prayer isn't your thing, then the silent reflection might be. There's been loads of debates about it, about whether it's appropriate or in a modern parliament, but we're not the only ones that have it. I think Austria has one as well. And six European countries say it in Parliament. And
30-second silent reflection. You know the way when they're praising somebody in football who's died from the club, they do 60 seconds of clapping.
They're clapping. They should do that.
The best of all was John Peel. They had 60 seconds of noise.
60 seconds.
And also, like, there was no flowers outside BBC. Everybody came with demo tapes.
That's a great... Oh my God, yeah, that's a great one. But there is... Similar to, I guess, the House of Commons, there are some... parliamentary standards here as well that people have to abide by. So dull debates can get a bit X-rated with, unparliamentary language being used. There's a document called The Salient Rulings of the Chair, and not many people know about this, but it offers an insight into the kind of things a TD can and cannot say in the Dáil about other deputies. And it's to go with the standing orders to run the Dáil, basically. It has loads of run-of-the-mill things and it's been updated over time to reflect the latest rulings of the chair, which is the Cean Comhairle. Some of the good ones that I found during the week.
Did you ever talk to a Cean Comhairle? I've got a great story about a Cean
Comhairle.
Seriously, I was staying in Fitzpatrick's in New York, and I left my passport behind. I was in the airport, and I went, "Oh God, what do I go?" So I rang the place. They said, "Well, your man, the Cean Comhairle's here. He can take it off for you."
No way!
I can't remember his name. Sorry, but he came to the airport and he gave me my passport.
Oh my God! The luxury.
It's too much. Sorry, the salient rulings of the chair.
The salient rulings
rules
of the chair. Yeah. These itemise and document things that TDs are and are not allowed to call each other, say to each other, whatever, in Dáil Éireann. So one of them is that TDs are banned for alleging that a colleague is a smuggler, a rogue, or a scoundrel.
You can't say scoundrel. That's such a nice little word. I mean, that's what the mothers and fathers say to their 3-year-old.
I know, but I think it might have been something from a time where scoundrel really meant what scoundrel really means, if you know what I mean.
So you still can't say scoundrel now.
So apparently you can't say scoundrel because I was looking at the salient rulings of the chair only yesterday, Dave. And a scoundrel is still included. So another...
Sorry, so you said scoundrel. What were the other two you said?
Okay, I'll tell you. So there's a comprehensive list of insulting and abusive expressions that have been real disorderly when applied to a member's statement or their actions or conduct. Would you like to hear the list?
Sure, yeah. One by one, let's see.
These are the things that you can't...
parse the lot.
These are the things that you can't call a fellow TD. A brat, and you can't accuse them of acting the brat.
Don't be ridiculous.
You can't call them a buffoon. You can't accuse them of buffoonery.
I'm sure they are. You can't accuse them of buffoonery. I'm sure they have.
You can't call them a chancer, a communist, a corner boy.
You're going too fast. A chancer.
A chancer.
You can't call somebody a chancer.
Chancer.
Like, you can't say chance in your arm.
It is against the most salient rulings of the chair.
But I mean, a buffoon can be good. Like, they might be a ridiculous person, but they're an amusing person.
Oh, you can think of a few. Mm. Chancer, communist, corner boy.
Sorry, I said slowly. Hold on. Communist.
Communist.
So you have to say, like, Marxist-Leninist, one-party state person? Give me a break. Okay.
Corner boy.
Oh,
and you can't
that's
accuse
disgusting.
Them of corner boy tactics. You can't call them a coward.
The only time I've ever heard corner boy tactics is the politician talking about another politician. That's ridiculous. Okay. Sorry, is this in the chamber? Can I do it outside?
This is, you can do whatever you want outside.
If I'm interviewed by RT and I'm a politician and
this applies.
He's a bloody corner boy using corner boy
this
tactics.
Applies.
And frankly, he's a communist and a chancellor and a buffoon and a brat. So I can say that all out in the street.
This applies to the running of Dáil Éireann.
Ah, well, then I understand.
You can say whatever you like when you're outside.
Okay.
You can't call them a coward. You can't call them a fascist.
I know I'm stopping you. Coward? Mother of God.
You can't call them a fascist minister. Right? Although the chair does tolerate the expression fascist used in a general way.
Oh, thank God for that.
Can't call them a gurrier. You can't
really?
Call them a gutter snipe.
Wow.
You can't call them hypocrites, bloody hypocrites, or accuse them of hypocrisy.
You can't call them hypocrites or bloody hypocrites.
You can't call them a rat. A scumbag.
Scumbag, I love it.
Scurrilous or a scurrilous.
Do you remember that on Larry's Just a Minute quiz? The thing like, people from Liverpool, beginning with the letter S, you know, what do they call you? I said, scumbag.
Oh,
no, I was looking for scouse.
But anyway. Scouse, yeah,
okay,
exactly.
So go on, yeah.
You can't call them scumbag. You can't call them scurrilous or a scurrilous speaker. And you can't call them a Yahoo.
So scurrilous is just a word to describe. Like, what? A Yahoo? Can you call them a Google?
Call them a Yahoo.
That's ridiculous. Okay.
So, and the document states as well that a reference to handbagging, when particularly when speaking about a lady member of the house, has been deemed to be unparliamentary.
Handbagging, like handbags at dawn, fighting.
Exactly.
It doesn't really mean very much. It's just a bit of a set to.
As what you said, it said all of this isn't to say the deputies are completely protected. Another point in the document states that members must not be thin-skinned in relation to political remarks.
So if I did say scumbag, rat, gutters and abgurrier, it's cool.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
You have to kind of take it as in the spirit it's intended. And in addition, the document states that Dáil proceedings may not be referred to as a circus, a farce or a slander machine.
Well, I've never heard slander machine, but I've certainly heard circus and farce. And
so
I've heard,
several times.
Okay.
I've thought it too.
Let's get out of Ireland and England. Where are we going?
Let's go to France. Okay.
What have they got?
So at either end of the hémicycle, which is the main chamber of the National Assembly in France, are two curtained areas. They're ostensibly for the storage of chairs and boxes, but the areas have a really famous role in French politics. When there is a particularly tight vote called, MPs hide behind the curtains and burst out at the last minute to swing the vote. And this happened in 2009 when a key vote went against Nicolas Sarkozy, and unsurprisingly he took to the press, denigrating the backhand manoeuvring of the opposition. So they burst out from behind curtains.
Is that a bit like the man, an MP getting kidnapped? You stick him over there.
Kind of, I suppose. It's just.
By the way, we are looking at weird traditions in parliaments here with Africa. So, okay, curtains in the French parliament.
Yeah, you just leap out from behind curtains.
What about America? I'm sure they have a few.
They do. So in the US, the Senate and a lot of the politics, I guess, would be modelled on the House of Commons and on England because of, you know, their colonial history with England and stuff. In the Senate, there is, you'd actually love this, Dave. This would be right up your alley. There is a desk filled with sweets.
Ooh,
it's
yeah.
called the candy desk.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's been a tradition in the United States Senate since 1968, whereby a senator who sits at a particular desk near a busy entrance keeps a drawer full of candy for members of the Senate. The current occupant of the candy desk is Pennsylvania Senator Pat Toomey. And in 1965, California's George Murphy joined the Senate. He kept candy in his desk to offer his colleagues and for himself, although eating isn't allowed on the Senate floor. And when he left the Senate after a 6-year term, other Republican senators maintained the custom. It became known, publicly known, in the mid-1980s when Washington Senator Slade Gorton disclosed it in announcing that he would be sitting at the candy desk for his term.
Okay, yeah. I remember that.
You'd be delighted with that.
I would, yeah.
Now, anybody who seen Impeachment recently, which is very good.
Yeah, I must say that was good, yeah.
We'll have seen the presidential M&Ms.
Oh, when what was your man's name? Vince Foster.
Yeah, and Linda Tripp brings him his
lunch. Very beginning.
Yeah,
that's right,
exactly. Yeah. So presidential M&Ms are the commemorative packets of red, white, and blue coloured M&Ms given to guests of the President of the United States on board Air Force One. So it's not necessarily a House of Parliament, but it is a little tradition. They were first created in 1988, and they were to replace cigarettes as the standard gift given to guests of the President because John F. Kennedy was flinging cigarettes at people.
So it's M&Ms nowadays. Listen, we've only got 30 seconds left, so use it. Do whatever you like.
Yeah. Okay.
Tell me something I don't know.
Okay, go to Canada. In Canada, one of the traditions that doesn't come from England, because Canada is the Commonwealth, is that the Canadian Ministers of Finance on Budget Day wear a pair of brand new shoes. The tradition, the Minister of Finance will purchase or wear new shoes when the budget is delivered. And the exact origins are not known. But if you're delivering a green budget, you wear green shoes. If you're delivering a nasty budget, you might wear red shoes.
All right. Well, I'll remember that one too. Next time I'm in Canada. Afric, thanks a million.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.